Blog Talk Radio.
Clean heart,
and renew.
Renew my heart.
welcome, welcome, welcome to the Diane Grimble Ministry and Friends Talk Radio Show. I'm your guest, Stephen Cross, and we are glad to have you listening with us on this evening. Those of you that are listening coming through Twitter, and those of you listening through Skype, Facebook, Blog Talk, Instagram, and those of you that are listening throughout our archives, we want to say thank you for listening, and we welcome you once again to the Rapture / End of the World Ministries. Your host again, I'm Stephen Cross. For those of you that want to enter into our archives talk line, it's going to be telephone number is 213-943-3378. And that's going to be our chat rooms. Our chat rooms are open, and you're welcome to go on and log on and to our chat rooms. Also, those of you, last week I meant to give you my email address. Those are willing to contact with me concerning some issues that you may not want to talk about on the radio. You can contact me at my email address is scross2000@gmail.com. That's S as in Stephen, Cross as in Jesus died on the 2000. That's going to be the letter 2000@gmail.com. We want to thank you for listening in. And just before we get started, we want to go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word throughout the listening audience, throughout the different airways. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before such a great people as yours that you have created on planet Earth. And we thank you for this word that you've given us that we might hide in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. We ask you, Lord, that you'll make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, and that you'll open the ears of those that are listening, and, oh God, that you'll give them an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, we are. My name is Stephen Cross once again, and I'm not really into the titles and stuff, so if you want to just call me Stephen, that's fine. And we're going to be, you know, we've been talking about the end of the world, and a lot of people have always wanted to know, you know, what's the end of the world? What's going to happen? What are some of the signs? Do you know that even the Jesus' disciples wanted to know? And I'm going to do a little recap real quick here. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. We was coming out of the book of Matthew, and, you know, Jesus' disciples asked him, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 3, it said, Jesus' disciples even came up to him and said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, this is St. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 3, those of you that have your Bibles, as he sat, and this is Jesus, as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You see, even Jesus' disciples were curious about when he was coming and when the end of the world was going to be. And, you know, we've been hearing this for a long time. People have been saying, oh, they've been talking about Jesus coming for a long time. You know, he hasn't come yet. And those of you that will read the signs, Jesus gave a lot of signs. And if you look, as we are reading through the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, Jesus gave his disciples some different signs that they were able to look for. Excuse me. One of the main things that he told them to do was that he wanted them to be careful that no man deceives them. And we're living in the age of deception. You know, that's why it's good to know what you know. And it's good to know the truth, because there's a lot of, the Bible said that there would be a lot of deceivers that would arise just before Christ came. A lot of false prophets and a lot of false teachers, men claiming to be men of God that have a form of godliness but denying the power. People that are right now, we're living in a generation where they're really knocking the word of God. They're really trying to discredit God's word. And one thing I like about the Bible, you really don't need any other books to justify this book, because this is it's one of a kind, a book of books. It's the only book that gives you information before it happens. You know, they, people talk about Nostradamus and the things that he predicted. He predicted a lot of things, but his predictions aren't very accurate. One thing about the Word of God, it's right to the point. You know, if you know, we found Noah's Ark. It's no mystery that Noah's Ark has been found. In fact, they did the measurements of it. They know exactly where it is. It's right where the Bible said it would be, on the mountains of Mount Ararat. And that ark is there. They've done a measurement of it. And I believe that what God is doing, he is allowing there to be no excuse for man. You know, that's one of the things that you don't see in the headlines. You don't see them publicizing things that are about the Word of God to bring proof to the Word of God being true. And it doesn't really matter anyway, because the Bible says, let every man be a lie and God be true. Because the Word of God is true, whether or not people believe it or not. I just usually tell people that it's very important to make sure that you find out why you're here before you leave. Because if you're here, you got to already know that you're not in charge. Because when you got here, somebody had to tell you what your name was. And you had to believe that your parents were your parents. You know, it basically everything that we deal with is based upon pretty much a belief. You know, I was trying to tell one of my friends, I said, you know, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. Everybody believes in something. Even if you don't believe that the Bible's not true, you still believe in something other than the Bible. Everybody has a belief. And I tell them it's very important to make sure that before you depart out of your body, before you say or have your last breath, make sure that you find out why you're here. Because if you don't find out why you're here before you leave, a lot of people are getting out of their body and they're going, oops, it was true, it's real, and they're terrified, and they can't come back to tell us. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so Jesus' disciples wanted to know, what were some of the signs? You know, one of the signs was earthquakes in diverse places. And just a few minutes ago, we had an earthquake here in San Diego. It wasn't one that was big, but it was a shaker. And it said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. It said there would be pestilence. And, you know, we have a lot of different pestilence. In fact, I caught something. I don't know what it was, but I haven't been able to shake it yet. My voice isn't cleared up yet. But I believe that man is putting a lot of stuff in the atmosphere, and we're getting sick. And these are the signs of the times. It's the end times. And I wouldn't be even surprised if man has something to do with this measles that's going on right now. You know, all of a sudden, now measles seems to be attacked on people. And to me, it's just another way to come up with another law in order to mandate people to get vaccinated so that they can go on to introduce whatever plan that they have to getting people getting used to being vaccinated so they can put them little chips inside of people, little RFID chips to monitor, to be able to tell where you are. And man, you just can't trust mankind. And as we get closer to the end time, we're going to start seeing more and more evidence that the world is coming to an end. A lot of people say, oh, it's just technology. And now we have even where people are being abducted, people are missing. I'm just talking about some of the things that are happening in our world today. We have so many people right now believe in UFOs. I was just looking at a clip the other day, and they had placed some type of, looked like a, it might have been from outer space on the ground, and made it look like it had skid into, like it was a ship or something, or some type of something from outer space, anyway, that we're used to seeing because of television. And then all of a sudden, it was like a prank. But then they have the guy that's got the big eyes, that has no white, got the big black eyes, and all dressed in a white suit, inside of one of the person's cars. They get out the car, and when they go back to their car, they see this white, like outer space person inside of their car, and they're all scared. And they're thinking it's somebody from outer space, because people already pretty much believe all this stuff anyway. So it's something how mankind's mind is already being set up to accept the end of the world. You know, the Bible says Because when you had the truth, he didn't believe the truth. He said he would send you a strong delusion that you would believe a lie, that you might be damned who obeyed not the truth. And so many people, the truth is right before them, the word of God, but they don't want to believe it. So God's going to help and allow people to believe the lie that they want to believe. And I see it being set up right now. If you don't know the word of God, if you don't know the Bible, if you've not been reading, if you haven't been being taught, and it's going to be easy for you to be fooled in these last days. Once you know the truth shall make you free. And, you know, people come up to me and they try to knock the Bible. It's too late. There's too much evidence that's been in that Bible that I have actually practiced and found out it to be true for myself. And I used to tell somebody, I said, if I have my hand in my pocket and I got some money in my pocket, and somebody comes up to me and tells me that I don't have any money in my pocket, I really don't need to say anything to them because I already know I've got money in my pocket. I put it in there. Not only that, I got my hand on it. And that's how it is with me with the word of God. Somebody come up to me trying to tell me the word of God is not true, they're too late because I got the evidence. I've got what I've read. I've seen it to be true. And as we look and see, as I was saying, the disciples wanted to know what was going to be the signs of thy coming, the end of the world. And Jesus told them, said, beware, don't let any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We have a man right now that's claiming to be Jesus, and he's gotten people putting 666 on him, which makes absolutely no sense. And most people in hindsight would say, if they have any clue about the Bible, if they've heard anything, they'll know that 666 represents the devil. Most people already know that. But the new generation are finding out, they don't even know what 666 means. And, you know, you can look on your monster cans. I believe that is written in Hebrew, those the symbols of those lines that look like upside down, the little slashes, almost like a nine, maybe not so, but it's more like a Hebrew letter. And if you look it up, those are actually Hebrew letters. They're actually sixes. Those are three sixes that are on the monster can that are upside down. See, the devil, what he does, when he does things, he comes in to deceive people. You see, he'll be right before your eyes, but he'll come in and just deceive you. Some years ago, they had a game in Israel called Uncover 666 and Win. And, of course, the people in Jerusalem in there, they wouldn't know anything about 666. They wouldn't know anything because they don't believe in the New Testament. They basically just believe in the Old Testament. So it would be easy for them to be deceived. And, of course, we know that they will be deceived by the Antichrist. He will come in and he will set himself up in God's house, claiming to be God and fooling them for 3.5 years until God takes the blinders from their eyes and they're able to see that they have accepted not the real Christ, but the false Christ. And also, I'm just doing the little highlights and talking about a few little things that are showing you how we are so close to the end of the world. And the signs, the Bible says, as the fig tree buds forth, you'll know that summer is nigh. So is the same way as when it's coming. You'll be able to, if you know the little details of what Jesus has put in his scripture, then you can kind of see, you might not know exactly the day, but you could tell that what, summer's nigh. It's like a farmer that's farming. He knows his farm so good that he could take someone out in his farm. He could see just about where those corn sprouts are coming up. And he could say, you know what? I'm going to have corn. Might not have it right on this day, but it's going to be within this period of time. I can see it's going to be soon. And that's how it is with the word of God. You know, you'd never think that we'd be living in a day and time when you could actually see 666 almost everywhere you go. And many people don't know, but if you look at your barcodes that are on the back of your products, it's called the UPC, Universal Product Code. There's a code within there, and the code is 666. You know, one of the, I can say this now because the person right now, they don't go to our church, but one of the parishioners at our church years ago came to me and gave me an emblem that was one of the symbols that they put on the missals and different things that they ship around the world for the military. And it was one of the symbols that they put on there for shipping. And because I was doing outside ministry with a van, and I she gave it to me, and she gave me quite a few of them. And on it, it was a circle, and it was red and white, and it was square, but it was a circle in the midst of this square symbol. And in the middle, it had 999 with slashes underneath the nines, but then in the corner it said this number is optional. So this number could be used either as 999 or 666. And this person also told me that they ordered all the were ordered the military clothes. They had told me that when they were ordering the clothes, that they were just doing their orders regular, and they didn't read some of their paperwork that they had a new code that they had to use for ordering the military clothes. And so her commanding officer called this person in and let them know that, you know, we have a new code now. When you order, you got to order with the code of 666. And, you know, the universal, the World Trade code number is 666. And those of you that don't have time to deal with that tonight, we may take one night and just completely deal with the facts on that and show you where you can find this out. But technology is as such right now where you can check and see all these things are true that I'm telling you. So we're living in the last days. And we want to go to, actually, we're still here in the book of Matthew. We want to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Where it says here, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13. Said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Because we know before the end of the world comes, you have things that proceed up to the end. And these are some of the things that is very important for those of you that are not born again to start really paying attention to what's happening. What I'm going to be kind of dealing with tonight somewhat is going to be about the rapture. Because one of the things that is happening right now is God is getting his church ready for the rapture. And one of the things that we don't see right now, but we will see, I believe, in the near future, is going to be God's church in the media. Because right now, I see a platform, a foundation being laid by Satan to come after the church of God. And it's easy to see if you're paying attention. They're changing laws. You just slowly kind of do it where you can't spank your children. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to spank our kids. You know, we're supposed to chastise them. It says, beat them with the rod, for they will not die. Of course, some of the parents don't know how to discipline their kids properly and right. And so a lot of things are taken out of context. And wherever you have something good, you're always going to have some evil. The Bible says wherever good is, evil is also present. So where you have parents that know how to discipline their kids right, you're going to always have those that don't. And what that does, that hinders the people that are doing it right. So we know that they're making laws and have made laws and they're trying their best to make laws where, you know, I hear it all the time on TV. Oh, you spank your child? Oh, you spank your child? Oh, that's cruel. That, you know, and what it is that the children, they won't know the difference between right and wrong if they have no discipline. And they say, well, you could just give them a timeout. And I think when I heard that, I thought like, wow, that's another way of preparing your child to get ready to go to jail. Because what do? You have to spend time out somewhere for your crime. And all they're doing is teaching them another way to go to jail because you're going to do a timeout. You're going to stay in your box. You can't come out of that box. You got to stay in that box long enough, child. Now you can come out. And so I see a pattern of events. And see, whenever you start getting away from God's word, everything becomes diluted. Everything. And that's what Satan did. See, Satan, from the very beginning of time, he always wanted to alter what God said. When God gave Adam a command, it was in the garden. He told Adam, he said, out of all these trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat. And I'm sure there had to be a lot of trees in there. He said, out of all these trees, you can eat. But the one that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat it. For the day that you eat of this tree, thou shalt surely die. And what does Satan say? he just adds one word, thou shall not surely die. Changes the whole meaning of the word, changes the whole meaning of what's been said, and completely flips it to meaning the opposite of what God said. And that's what we got going on today. A lot of people changing God's word, adding and taking away. And there's a warning in the Revelations about that. He said, if you add to this book, so shall be added the plagues that are written in this book. If you take away, your part of the tree of life shall be taken away. So it's very important to pay attention to what's being said. And if it's not being said in the right context, if it's not being said right, the devil was a deceiver from the beginning, and he's deceiving people now. That's one thing that the devil is doing, is deceiving people. And we look and we can see how everything is even being tracked. Now we have come down to a place where we almost have one language. And we could basically talk to anybody in the same language by the computer, because now it translates it for you. And so our world is getting smaller, and I believe that what God is doing is he's getting ready to bring a message to the world by way of the church. The Bible tells me, that many of us church people, we are going to be brought before the magistrates. We're going to be brought before the courthouses, and we're going to have to go before the court, and what we're going to have to do is give a testimony that might be a testimony against them, because what's going to happen is that we're going to stand up for the word of God, and this is going to be their very own testimony. Our testimony is going to be a testimony against them, because we'll be there, and the Bible tells us when we are taken there, not to take it upon ourselves what to say. For that same self hour, he's going to give us what to say. And the Holy Ghost will speak to us and tell us exactly what we are to say. And so we see all these different signs of the time. Time is winding up as we see technology is changing and so fast. Man, it's like by the time they make one computer, they got another one. I remember back in the day when they had BIC 20, yes, BIC 20, and Commodore 64, the computers that very first came out. And you can see how people were afraid to have these computers. Now they welcome them in. And I just saw a clip the other day how they want to put a chip inside of some of the people at their jobs so that they can get in and get out, where they can get into their computer files using their little chip on their hand. And they're using it right now. People think it's a good idea. Some people think it's a good idea. And they don't realize that what we're doing is we are being slowly taken into the shadow of the beast, the shadow of the mark of the beast. Because, see, the devil, when he comes in to deceive people. So before you know it, people are going to say, oh, this is a good way to do it. You know, I lost my credit card. And I believe that the credit cards themselves were pre-planned obsolescence. Because man had to have known, if man could put a man on the moon and fly him up to the moon, they surely are going to know that when they gave us our credit cards with our numbers and these computers, if somebody made the computer and they make all these type of spywares and all that, whoever made it has got to know how to break into it. There's got to be a code. They had to already know people were going to break into this. So if they already knew it, that means that they planned the cards already knowing that they were going to do away with them. Because what they want to do, they want us to ask for what they want to give us. Let me say that again. They want us to want or ask what they want to give us, so that when we do get it, it doesn't look like we got it from them, but we got it because we asked them to give it to us. So then that way you'll be more comfortable with it. It's just like the computer. First everybody was afraid, now nobody's afraid. It's just like homosexuality. Homosexuality used to be covered up. People used to come out, be afraid to come out. Now they're practically almost taking over. And I really believe that it's that community that's going to start padlocking churches. That's going to start we're going to have to come before the magistrates because of them. Pretty soon we won't even be able to talk on radio or we won't be able to speak. I think it's good. Radio is a good place to be. You know, our freedom of speech is being attacked. Our Constitution is under attack right now. All these are signs that we are coming close to the end of time as we know it. And so as we go to the book of First Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we look here, we know that there's something that is being prepared. God is preparing himself a bride because the whole creation was made by God. And those of us that are in the church, we're not upset about what we see going on. We're actually kind of getting excited. It's almost like a person that's getting ready to get married. You know, as they see that date getting closer, of course they want to make sure that bride, she want to make sure she got her dress ready. If she got to lose some weight, she want to lose some weight. I just talked to a person the other day that told me they bought a dress, and they bought it early, but I guess they bought it a couple or three sizes smaller. They said they got to get themselves able to be able to fit into it. So they already have plans, and they know the date is coming. And that's the way the church is. The church is something that God is preparing. The Bible says that he who hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started this whole thing off. He didn't make a mistake when he created man. He knew exactly what he was doing. God can't do anything that he doesn't know about. He can't make a mistake. It's impossible. When he created earth, the Bible says God planned the end from the beginning. I hear that most good book writers, they always start at the end of their book. They start from the end and then they write forward. And I think they got that pattern from God, because God is the first one that did what? He said he planned the end from the beginning. In other words, he has his bride. He has his church. This thing is not a fail. This thing is going to happen exactly the way he's planned it. And those that want to come along, you are in his plan right now to be able to have a choice. Whatever you choose to do, if you choose to follow God's word, it was your choice, and God helped you with your choice. But the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. So you have the choice. God just presents it before you. He said, here is good and here is evil, just like he did Adam in the garden. He then forced him. He said, you know what, son? Here's these trees. See that one over there? Don't eat it. So when you make your choice on what you do, if you made the choice, you have to live with the choice that you made, even if it's a bad one. That's why it's very important to make sure that you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, taking here a little and there a little, line up on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. The Bible is not written like a novel. It's not written like that. This Bible is written in such a way that God did it so that you would definitely need somebody to teach you, and then you would need the Holy Ghost to be able to have the spiritual discernment to be able to understand. That's why the very first thing you got to do is be born again. You know, people want to be able to see before they're born. I don't know any baby that was able to see before it came out of its mother's womb. Baby had to develop his eyes, had to develop itself, and that's the same way it is with the Word of God. The Bible says you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So it's very good and very important. So we want to look here, and we want to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, and verse number 13. And this is talking about the church. It says here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. This is Paul talking. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now listen to that. So we know that we have a lot of people. When they talk about sleep, one thing about people that die, they're just sleep. You know, the church, they just go to sleep. In fact, the part of them that sleep is their body. All right? The body is sleep. The Bible says, and we're going to read on further, and we'll come to some of these scriptures later. The Bible says, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So the body goes to a place of knowing nothing. And that's talking about your temple, your body. When you're gone from home, you don't know anything. You're not home. So you don't know anything. When you kick a dead person, they don't say, ouch, because they're not at home no more. They left that body. They went somewhere. Okay, so it says here that we don't solve, the people that are in Christ, they don't solve like others that solve. It doesn't mean that we don't have sorrow, because we do weep. When we lose our loved ones, even though they die in the Lord, we're still human. And we're going to weep, we're going to cry, we're going to lose that personal touch that we had. But the comfort that we get, and this is the part that where we don't sorrow like others sorrow, we know that this person is living with the Lord. We believe that. If they live the life of righteousness, they live according to God's word, we know that they just went on to be with the Lord. That's why the Bible says here in verse number 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." Bring with them what? Well, he's going to bring them with them at the rapture. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. When we come back from our break, we're going to be taking a break in a few minutes, but we're going to be dealing with the rapture of the church. And as God prepares his church, there's going to be some signs. I know that there's a movie coming out, I believe, this month. It's called The Final. I believe that you can get it on DVD right now. I haven't gotten it myself, but I've seen some of the previews. It looks like a pretty good movie here. And as we get closer to the end of time, we're going to see more movies and things like this of this nature coming to the attention of the masses. Because, see, God, it's not God's intention for any man to perish. You know, people think, oh, if he's loved me so much, then why is he letting this happen? Why is he letting that happen? There again, unless you get born again, you can't see this thing right. You can't even really understand it right. You'll get mad, you'll get angry, and all that's good. That's okay, because, see, God can handle that. But once you get born again and your eyes get open, you'll see this is just one big love story. This is a love story that Jesus is actually doing. And it should make you curious to want to know. Because it's almost like, you know, going somewhere and putting some sunglasses on. And when you said there's a movie that they have, when they put these sunglasses on, you saw things different than everybody else saw. You took the sunglasses off, you became like a normal person. You put the sunglasses on, everything looked different. That's what it's like when you get born again. When you get born again, you got all things become new. You know, you look at people differently. You don't have hate in your heart like you used to. You don't have desires for the things that you used to have desire. And that's one thing about coming to the Lord. You got to come as you are. Some people think, oh, I want to stop doing this before I come and get born again. I want to stop doing that. No, you come as you are. You know, it's just like the people in AA. All they have to do is have what I understand. They just have to have a want to stop drinking. It doesn't tell them that they have to stop. All they have to do is want to. All you have to do is want to change. All you have to do is want to be born again. And once you want it, then God will give you the necessary tools to get that. Because remember, being born again is a gift from God. In fact, you can't even come to God unless God draws you. So if something's being said to you even at this moment that's causing you to want to look into this thing about the rapture, causing you want to look into deeply about what's going on, you've been hearing about the rapture, and you know, that's not even really you. That's really God tugging at your heart. That's God drawing you to look. So you can't, the Bible says you can't even come unto him unless he draws you. He has to first draw you. So if you're being pulled this direction, that's him already touching you. That's already God dealing with your heart. He's already, it's just like a baby that's been inside of a womb, and the seed of the male and the seed of the woman has come together, and they are starting to germinate, and now they're being fed, and then it's being fed, and nutrition is starting to grow. And that's how the word of God is. You may have heard somebody tell you about God over here. You may have heard something being said over here. You might have seen a chip in the person's hand. You might have seen that on the news where they were showing it. That might spark an interest. Man, I want to understand what's going on. And I want to know, what do I got to do to escape this? Because there is an escape. And what God is doing, he's giving a lot of the people in the world some things to look at. Because there's one thing that we got to say that didn't happen back in the day that's really happening now. And even though man has been marked, as we're getting closer and closer to mark actually being on your person. And we're going to deal more with this as when we come back. You know, we got more and more now when you go to your gym to go even to sign in to the gym, they take your fingerprints. And the now the identification is being switched from being on a card to being on the person. And I believe that this is just one more step closer to the mark of the beast being easier to be accepted by people. Because remember, when people get it, they are deceived. Many people are deceived into receiving the mark. And they and that and we're going to deal with the scripture when we come back from break. It deals with that when the devil gives you this mark, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark. So we're going to be coming back, and we want to thank you all for listening. I'm going to take a break here. God bless each one of you for listening in to the Diane Gribble Talk Show. We'll be back in a moment. This is Stephen Cross, your host. May God bless you.
Said you don't have to cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
as soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the worrying,
when I let go,
when I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things start happening.
I'll stop looking at
back
then.
When I let go,
I let go.
When I let God,
let God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
There's so much going on, sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in your head, everything will be alright.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I can let go. Let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God. God,
let go.
He's the only one with the answer.
Let go.
Just let God.
Let go.
He can handle it all. Yes, he can.
Let go.
Let God.
Let go.
With tears in your eyes.
Let
just let God.
Let go.
He feels your pain.
Let go.
And he knows your heart. He knows your issues.
Let go.
He knows your struggle.
Worrying
out
of glory.
Amen.
Welcome back to our talk show, Radio Host. This is your radio host, Stephen Cross, and we want to thank you for listening in. This is the Diane Grimble Ministry and Friends Talk Radio Show, and I'm your guest, Stephen Cross. And we want to take time to thank Skype, Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk, Instagram, and everyone listening throughout our archives. And we'd like to also let you know that our chat room is also open. Those of you that want to call in and chat with me today at this hour, you just fine. Our call-in number is 213-943-3378. And our lines are open, so if you want to call on in, just we welcome you. And also, my contact address is, for those that may not want to talk on the radio but may want to contact me concerning some things that I may be talking about, is scross2000@gmail.com. May God bless each one of you. And we were talking the last hour, we were dealing with, amen, the end of the world, talking about what will be some of the signs of thy coming. And what will be the sign of the end of the world. And we wanted to just take time to open up our airways for those of you that want to chat with me right now. That's just fine. And I do have another segment that we're going to deal with, because one of the things that's on the horizon is the rapture. And
amen.
Just before we left, we were dealing with First Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we were at verse number 13,
yes.
And we were dealing with some of the different signs that will be of Christ's coming. And I see we have our host here. I mean, we have our owner of the show here with me, Diane. God bless you. How you doing tonight?
Praise the Lord, Stephen. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. How you doing?
I'm blessed. You all will enjoy hearing you. Wow. I'm getting people that saying this is what everybody need to hear, this message. Amen. It's one of those messages that everybody, from the preacher, the teacher, everybody need to be sit down right now listening to this powerful teaching that you're giving. I'm really here to say we appreciate you. You are such an awesome add-on to the Diane Grimble Ministry and Friends. But I want you to know we've opened up the mic to Mother Apostle, Chief of Mother Apostle. She's out there in North Carolina. She's also a covenant partner here with us, and she's there. Mother Apostle, are you there?
God bless you. Oh, Minister Cross, I thank God for you enlightening the people. So many times the gospel has truly been watered down, but I thank God even when I yet go in stores, I always say, let me go to a live character. I will not, you know, go across anything that you have to scan. And it's good that you are really imparting these mysteries. Continue to do what you do. I'm just elated because you're enlightening the people. I thank God that you are taking a stand, because these are the days, the signs of the times. If we look around, I always say that there are man-made storms. There are a lot of things that are going on that the people are not really standing up to, and I thank God that you are standing, amen, on the front line, imparting and opening up the mysteries of God. You be encouraged. I'm enjoying your show.
Amen. God bless you. I thank you, Mother. God bless you. Amen. We're just glad to be here tonight. I'm thankful for those of you that are listening, and we just give praise and glory to honor to God. Amen. Thank you. We want to, as we continue to open up the lines, if those of you that are out there that want to talk, that's fine. Thank God for each one of you in the listening audience. And we want to go. Yes, is there?
Stephen, if I may, there's another caller actually from San Diego. This is our pastor, Darlene Hargrove, which she is God's hidden treasure. She's also, I want to real quickly say, Mother Apostle is one of our covenant hosts as well. She comes on the prophetic hour every Monday, well, every other Monday, second and fourth Monday. She'll be coming on tomorrow. Amen. And she'll be out there. She's North Carolina. Her show starter will be on tomorrow, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to just put that plug in there. So right now,
amen,
we can, because these two people have been waiting. They're excited. Pastor Darlene was the one who said I don't know if you know her, because we all come from the same church out there in San Diego. This is Pastor Darlene. We was all at North Park Apostolic. But Pastor Darlene, are you there?
I'm in.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes.
I just want to encourage the man of God. This is so needed. As Mother Apostle said, they have watered it down so much. And the more sometimes you say that Jesus is soon to come, the less people are hearing. They're figuring, I've heard that 30 years ago. I've heard it 20 years ago. I've heard it 15 years ago. But they fail to realize that it's closer than they think.
That's right.
If we watch the radio and the TV and look at the signs of the times, we can just about tell.
That's right.
He's coming. No doubt about it. And it would behoove us to be prepared and to be ready and to work while we can.
Amen.
But it's just so needed. And God bless you. You continue on. I'll find you out here. You're in San Diego. I'll find you.
Yes, I'm out here in San Diego. Yes. Amen. God bless you.
I'll find you. It's good to have a covenant partner close by that I can form a relationship with.
Amen.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Praise God.
Amen.
We thank God for
tonight.
Amen.
I got your email address. I think I got it right.
All righty.
I may say, this is another one of our covenant. These are one of our hosts. Pastor Darlene out there in San Diego, she has a program that comes on every Thursday, amen, Thursday, which is San Diego time. It's 8 p.m., and it is God's Hidden Treasure. So I'll be sending you the information, amen, if you have time to call in and support her as well.
Amen.
So I'll turn the mic over
to
you. God bless you.
Amen. We thank God for each one of you. We thank you all so much for listening in, and we just praise God for him giving us an opportunity to share. Of course, we know that God is got definitely his hand in this, because if we don't speak God's word, amen, something the rock is going to cry out and say, yes.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Praise Lord.
Yes, Lord. Praise God.
Praise God. Have another one on the line?
Praise God.
Praise Lord.
In the name of Jesus, praise God. Hallelujah and glory to the one always wonderful living Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Oh, my God. I want to thank God for being saved, sanctified, and filled with the baptism of his Holy Ghost. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And I always got to acknowledge that in the name of Jesus. Because you know what? If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. Praise God. Brother Cross, this is Pastor Shaw, Monument of Hope and Deliverance. Praise God. I'm one of your covenant brothers in, praise God, and Diane Grimmel Ministry and Friends. And as always, I have to call and give you some encouragement and let you know, man, brother, keep on keeping on. Because you know what? If you don't get caught up, you're going to be left behind in the name
of
Jesus. People need to know to get with this thing, because you know what? It's either going to be for God or you're going to be against him. But you can't straddle the fence. And these people playing church around here, you're trying to praise God 1 minute and out there trying to do filth. But I stopped by to tell you, it's time to let go. Let God in the name of Jesus, because that's what it's all about. So if you ain't about Christ, then you're about to mess. So it's time to get busy and be about Christ in the name of Jesus. Brother, I love you with the love of God, and your message is awesome. And you keep on giving it, because if they don't want to get with it, they can be without it. And it's all about Christ in the name of Jesus. I'm Pastor David A. Shaw of Monument of Hope and Deliverance, and I'm going to continue to listen to you. And God bless you. And God bless you, Mother Apostle.
God bless you, son. In the name of Jesus.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Mother.
Praise God. Amen. We thank you, Pastor Shaw. God bless you. Yes. So we're going to we thank each one of you for listening in, and we just give God the glory and all the honor. And, you know, like I said, if we don't speak out, the rocks is going to cry out. Amen. We want to get back to those of you that our listening in our audience, we want to get back to dealing with the focus of the rapture and some of the signs of the times and some of the things that are happening in our world today that are leading the church toward the dressing room. Amen. Many of us, I know, as I see what's going on in the church, and I don't know how long it's going to be before the churches are going to be allowed to be assembling in the church. And one of the things I didn't really see Jesus do too much of, and that was miracles. In fact, I didn't see any miracles in the Bible that Jesus performed inside of the synagogues. He was either being put out, being rebuked, or being cast out. And I believe that the radio airways and breaking bread from door to door is going to be one of the things that the church is going to be doing soon. Because as we sit back and all our laws are changing, and I just read the other day, in fact, I believe it was yesterday, on how someone didn't want to bake a cake for a homosexual couple. There was a Christian place where they actually baked cakes, and I don't know if I would have made this decision myself, but I guess what was wanted to be supposed to be written on the cake itself, the person felt not right writing on there, and they decided not to do these cakes for them, and they got sued for $150,000, and they had to close their business. And I just know that right now I believe that this is an attack of the enemy, and we're going to have to stand together, and we're going to have to stand together as one and pray that God will pull down these strongholds. And we can't be afraid to stand up. They're not afraid to stand up for what they believe. And I believe that we as church people have got to stand up for our rights, because our rights weren't given to us by man. Our rights were given to us by the Creator. And as far as I'm concerned, God's rights override any rights of man, because the Bible says we are to obey God or man, and we know that we are to obey God. And so the church is going to be called to attention. And we want to go back to the book of 2 Corinthians, amen. I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we were reading about the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13, and it says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep." This is Paul talking, "that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." We have hope. Those of us that die in Christ, we have a hope. Amen. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, now that's the key, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord," verse number 15, "that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. So we know that as we get closer to the end, a lot of people think that, you know, Jesus is going to come down here to the earth, and they're looking for him. And if the people knew their Bible, they would automatically know that this guy that's over here that claims to be Jesus has got them putting 666 on their hand, which is just doesn't make sense in itself, but it just shows you how easy people are deceived. They're getting tattoos on their hands, 666. That's supposed to be the devil's number. And he's claiming to be Christ. And if they knew their word, they would know that Jesus is not coming back to the earth like that. He's supposed to be what? The Bible says that he said he's going to what? He's going to appear in the clouds. It says in verse number 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord," in verse number 16, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Verse number 17, "then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we know the Lord is not going to be down on the earth at the time of the rapture. And we know that the rapture is not his second coming. The rapture is his appearance. The Lord appears in the cloud. And this is where people get the second coming mixed up with the rapture. Because the Bible says, woe unto those that desire the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord is a day of gloominess, a day of darkness and thick darkness, a day of destruction. And that's when the Lord sets foot on the earth. When the Lord comes back with his saints, that's when it's going to be destruction, when he comes back for the second coming. In fact, that's the day that the Lord says that he has no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. So it's not even going to please God to do what he has to do. But because he's a righteous judge, he's going to have to judge the world for their iniquity and for their disobeying God's word. And that's why before the rapture, we're going to see a lot of events take place that are going to start pinpointing the church. And as the world gets darker in its sense of being more evil, the church is going to get brighter. Because see, what's going to happen is just like having a light, a little match. When things get real dark, and that's why the Bible warns us as Christians, don't put your light up underneath a bushel or underneath a tree where it can't be seen. You're supposed to let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God the Father, which is in heaven. And we're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they might come running unto us, saying that they might want unto God, saying they want to be saved. So it's very important for us as Christians. In fact, it's going to get down to the wire. It's going to start getting real tight here pretty soon, because as they start padlocking churches and people in church, they start being pastors and ministers, they start getting more afraid to preach God's word, afraid to say this or that because they might have somebody sitting in the audience that's going to sue them for something, for not wanting to marry homosexuals. And we know it's against the word of God, and they don't want to stand for it. And, you know, we know that that's against the word of God. And people that are afraid, they don't want to stand for it, and they're going to end up getting their church padlocked. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to stand for what's right. And I think there's a way to do what you do. You know, it's a way that you do things is very important. So we know that the Bible says that when he gets ready to come, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice. And it says that we will be caught up. So we got to know that he's not going to be on the earth. So those people that believe that Jesus is going to be on the earth, before Jesus comes back to the earth, you're going to hear about a lot of people missing. There's going to be all kinds of catastrophes, planes crashing. You're going to see all kind of catastrophe. People just missing on their cars crashing, and all kind of things going on. 911s here and there, ambulance, planes falling. There's going to be so much trauma that people are going to really, a lot of the people are going to believe that it happened. They're going to say, you know what happened? They finally invaded the earth. You know, they finally invaded. And that's why we see all these movies coming out, and these different movies about abductions and these different UFOs, and people believe in people being taken. And I wouldn't be surprised if the devil himself isn't taking some of these people some places, and people actually seeing these things, because the Bible tells me in the book of Revelations that the devil himself was going to be able to bring, God was going to give him power that he would be able to make fire come from heaven down onto the earth, and it would deceive the men by the power of the miracles of which the devil was able to do, and even giving power to an image to cause it to speak. And we know that we're living in the last days, because we could see all this stuff being implanted into the minds of men. And it's very important, like I said earlier, to study the word of God, to know the truth so that you won't be deceived, because we're living in the hour of deception. And as we get closer to the end, the church is going to be in the limelight. I believe that the church itself is going to be put on the witness stand, You're going to be more and more. It's like me on my job. I know they tell me I talk about Christ too much, but if somebody asks me a question about the hope that lies within me, I'm to give them an answer. Even if there's somebody else around that don't want to hear it, I'm answering the person that's there. And, you know, it's not like I'm going around just trying to force people to believe, but if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to answer the question. You know, my job, they had me go see a psychiatrist because they said I talked about God too much. I said, I'll go see your psychiatrist. If as long as I'm going to get paid, they said, oh, we're going to pay you. And so I said, sure, fine. And when I got through, the psychiatrist himself, he wanted to know what church I belong to. He wanted to know, he said, man, what church you go to? You see, I think you might want to tone it down to, but what church you go to? You know, and that is something, because sometimes we have to go into prison. Sometimes we have to go see a psychiatrist. Why? Because God wants us to take the word to somebody that needs to hear it. They might have heard it somewhere else, and they need to hear it again. So it would be a testimony that they've heard the truth. You know, that's one of the reasons why Israel was invaded. And I think this is one of the reasons why some of our churches are going to be padlocked. Because some of us, we're so busy shouting in the churches and having a good time with each other, but we never let anybody else. Nobody knows about us, some of us. They don't know. And if some of them know, they never end up coming to our churches. But sometimes God has got to take us to where they are, because we don't want to go where they are. Remember when I used to take the band out and do ministry in the parks and teach and preach with the band and had speakers up there. Some of the saints were so afraid they wouldn't even get out of the van. They would stay in the van while I was doing the ministry. And I thought, wow, they're afraid to get out. But, you know, you got to be bold. You got to be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, if you be ashamed of him, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So we look here and we see that the Bible says that the Lord himself was going to send from heaven with the voice, with the shout, and with the archangel, with the shout of an archangel. And he was going to say, come, my people, come. It says here in verse number 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that's where we get our word rapture. Rapture means to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And it says here in verse number 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And this is why it's very important for us as church people to start getting ourselves ready, because we are the bride of Christ. Amen. We are the church of the living God, and God is the head, and we are the body. And as we look, we're going to also go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. We kind of dealt with this a little bit last week. It says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, and this is talking about building your church, building upon your foundation, building, because the body is the temple of the God. Your body is the church. Your body is the temple. We are the church. The people are the church. We go to the house of God, but the real church is the body of Christ. Amen. So this is talking about you building upon your temple, which is the body of Christ. It says, and this is verse number Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 12 and verse 17. And it's very important when you're putting your building together that you put it together right, because God is getting ready to come and try the church. In fact, he's trying the church right now. And it's just slowly approaching more fire. It says, verse number 12 says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, God is going to try us church people to see what we're building in our temples. And that's why a lot of this stuff is going on right now in the world is going to be to try us to see what we got built. Are we stable? Are we going to back down when the enemy comes? Are we going to stand up and have, that's why it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. It says, every man's work, verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. All right, so every one of us is going to be tried. And it says, verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet in as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And this simply is saying to us that our bodies are the temple of God. Now, we know the scripture said it's not what goes in the body that defiles the body, but it's what comes out. And the way we defile ourselves is what we open up our mouths and say. Things that come out of our mouth, things that we say, they defile the temple. That's why it's very important to make sure that you put the right thing in your temple so the right thing can come out of your temple. And if you're building, if you got wood, hay, or stubble, we know that these things, fire burns up. Amen. Fire is going to burn up that stuff. And one of the things that the scripture says, too, that we are what? Chosen in a furnace of affliction. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, they shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. God has some jewels that he's making. And we are the jewels. Amen. It says here in the book of Malachi 3 and verse number 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And this is some of the fiery trials that are going to come. We're going to be tried, church. I mean, our day is coming. You know, here in America, we don't have to give our heads, and we're not getting burned right now like some of these people are getting burned for what they believe in. But, you know, if we keep laying back and laying down like what they're doing, as we see, we have the destroyer of the Gentile is coming up out of his thicket. It's in our backyard, but soon it's going to be in our front yard. It's going to be trying us to see whether or not we are going to be standing up on God's word. Are we going to do what we're supposed to do? Or are we going to fold? That's why it's very important to pray and fast and to study God's word, to show yourself approved unto God. Not studying to show how much you know. Studying to show that you are approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says in the book of Malachi, after he tries us and they shall be mine, it said, and he shall spare them as he spares a man spares his own son, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth it not. And last week, we're dealing with Ananias and Sapphira, how there was no real respect or no real fear of God. And I think one of the things that we've lost in the house of God today is the respect and the fear of God. I know there's a clip that's being shown right now of one of the elders sitting up in the pulpit eating potato chips. I mean, you never would think that people would do some of the things they do, but because of the lack of respect for God's house that we have, this is one of the reasons why we don't have the presence of God in our house like we do. And this is one of the reasons why when Jesus went to go do miracles, he would have to put some out because of their unbelief. And a lot of times God doesn't work in big crowds. He'll usually do work of where there's hardly nobody around. And then when he comes in, he sees some doubt. Y'all don't believe, y'all got to go out. When he was going to heal that the damsel that had died, and the servant said, well, where is she? And he said, oh, that's okay, she's just asleep. And the servant laughed. What do you mean she's sleeping? We know that she's dead. So Jesus had to put them out. You know, all right, she's dead. You guys, you all come on out. And he took, Peter and John with him. He would take those that he wanted to teach them. Look, though you be dead, yet he's alive. Why? Because I am the resurrection. I am the life. Even Martha, when she lost her son, Lazarus, when Lazarus, her brother, died, he said, Jesus, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And she said, and he let her know. He said, you know what? I am the resurrection. I am the life. And it's just like this Bobby Brown's daughter, and Whitney Houston's daughter. This girl, no matter what her condition is, God is able to raise her up because he's got power. God, with God, nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. We believe God could change this situation around. I know a woman that I went to go play music for. I didn't realize that she was there, but I had heard her name, but I didn't know her condition. I didn't know that she was in a coma. But she had been in a coma, and the doctors had given her up because she, and they said she's going to be brain dead. You know, when she comes back, and she is starting to talk some, but she came up out of that coma after doctors have given her up.
Amen.
And sometimes God needs sometimes for things to happen like that so that we, what?
Right.
So that we can believe God. Amen.
Stephen.
You know, amen.
Stephen.
Yes.
Stephen.
Yes.
You know, I got it. Please let me park this car in here and just get this one bit in there. Amen. Man, I'm just loving this. Oh, God, why can't we have a big blimp and we just put it all over in the sky so everybody can hear this? Powerful. Let me take something to a witness.
Yes.
Testimony of what you're saying. My mother, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, getting my ordination from Bishop Trout in December.
Uh-huh.
Well, when he ordained me, what happened? I had just gave my little spiel. I can't wait to go take and give this to my mother. So I'm walking out of the church. And what would I get is a text from my sister saying, Mom has been rushed to the hospital. I mean, look, Stephen, all I want to do is rejoice over that moment. God, it was like the moment. It was like it was sucked up. Like I couldn't even enjoy it. I went through a shift of prayer. And instantly I had to get out, leave Georgia, get to Chicago. Well, what was happening, turned around, my mother had been having internal bleeding for 6 months. We talking about a 90-year-old woman, y'all. And we ain't talking about any type of 90-year-old woman. My mother got all her senses, taking care of herself, cooking, whatever. And so what happened, they rushed her, found out she had internal bleeding, pneumonia, and the fact that one of her lungs had failed. So what was happening, now nine of our siblings, my God, was safe, Diane. So it was almost like this was all that fasting, all that praying that I've been doing, God said, now's time. So they were already, listen, they were already planning her funeral. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You better hear me. Let me tell you, my biggest fear had come up on me. Now, I moved back to Springfield, which gives me 3 hours from my mom, because I know she's up in age, and make a long story, she'll come from San Diego and say, okay, I'm closer. But I've always had that fear. God, it's going to come a time. I know I'm going to have to pray for my mother. And here it was. The doctor getting off the elevator, what did he say to me? We're sorry, but since she's been in the hospital, she has now developed a blood clot in her. The blood clot was in her leg, moved to a lung. She's not going to make it after the night. Man, it was like a ton of bricks had hit me. And I'm telling you, I've got on Facebook, I told the saints of God, because the Bible says the effectual prayers of the righteous, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. So I couldn't go to my sisters and brothers because they were planning the funeral. I needed to touch and agree in the spirit with people that have faith. And God, let me tell you something. I got on my knees. I got my prayer cloth, a prayer shawl, put it over her, anointed her head with oil from the top of her head to her feet. And I began to remind God. Man, I said, God, I've been good. I had to cash in everything I did for God. And then I had to begin to just remind God what his word said and everything.
Yes.
But I'm here to tell you, because what happened, they had said she wasn't going to make it. She was her oxygen was going down, down, down. But, man, I'm telling you, when you believe God for a miracle, do you know when she woke up that morning, the doctor had to take off the oxygen and said, she's now breathing 98% on her own. That was God. So God will. God today is doing miracles if you believe. And
that's
I'm here to say my mother is going home for rehabilitation on the 11th. Amen. She's back in her right mind. She's fully recovered.
Amen.
Said, God, I'll be crazy not to serve you because you've been good to me. And I just had to give my little testimony there. God,
somebody
had
to hear that. Somebody need to hear that because I wasn't even planning on going that way. I know that. Somebody need to hear that. Somebody out in the listening audience, you need to hear that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Somebody going through something. Somebody's not believing. I mean, God can do it. It's nothing impossible with him. And that's one thing you got to do. You got to go back to your camp and get your prayer warriors. Sometimes we need some help. And I see all these people praying for this young girl, and I said, you know, what a testimony of God, because when the doctor, when God gets the credit, see, no man can get no credit for this. Only God can get credit for it. When God gets the credit for something, that's the time when God likes to just come in and move. It'll be just a testimony to hear her come and even have a story about what God did with her. Wow, I can see you all praying, but I just couldn't talk to you. And that's what this one lady was saying, that she could hear people, but she couldn't move to talk to them. And another gentleman that was in a coma, he could hear people talk. And they said he was brain dead. He could hear them, but he couldn't talk to them. And he finally figured out a way to, when he came out and he opened his eyes, they figured out a way to get him to talk. You know, so sometimes, you know, I just say don't give up. You just can't give up. Amen. Thank God for that miracle. So we know that God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with God. And I believe the church, as we get closer to the end time, amen, and people that are having these diseases that, amen, that are coming up with these Ebola's and a lot of this stuff that man is creating, I believe God is going to still be able to heal and save those that are catching these man-made pestilence and diseases that man is putting out there. Amen. I believe that God can do anything. So as we look here, we was talking about Malachi. The Bible says, they shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. And he said he was going to do what? He's going to make, and how jewels are made up? Jewels are made under pressurous conditions. We know that a pearl is made in it is found in an oyster. And oysters are way down deep in the ocean. And what happens is that they get an oyster gets a parasite that comes through the softest part of its shell and penetrates, or either gets sand in its mouth. But a lot of times it's a parasite. And then they get inside, and the oyster will be irritated by this. And then it'll start formulating this crystal glass that shines every which way around this irritant that gets inside of its mouth. And as it's trying to spit it out and get it out, before you know it, it's covered itself in this crystal light, shining every which way, sparkling against a silver pearl. That's why a pearl has a unique glassy shine to it. It's because it's something that even mankind has not figured out how to duplicate, and that's something that's made under an irritable situation. And we know that when God starts to make up his church, there's going to be some irritable situations that we're going to be going through. We're going to feel uncomfortable. We're going to be going through trials and tribulations. And all this time, God is what? He's purifying us in our fiery situations. The Bible also says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, and this is John talking, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we know that we're going to be baptized with fire. Amen. Fire is something that comes to purify. It comes to perfect. A lot of us have gotten the baptism of, some of us even haven't even had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I know when I got the Holy Ghost, I spoke in tongues, but I didn't get the outside of me. I didn't have the expression of the Holy Ghost upon me. I had it in me. And a lot of people don't realize that there are it's the same Holy Ghost, but it has different, amen, expressions. It has different fragrances. And the Holy Ghost upon you is the latter rain. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, if I told one person, I said, if I was standing on the roof and you saw me, you wouldn't say I was standing in the roof. You would say I'm standing on the roof. Amen. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. It's just like the fire. When the fire comes upon you, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Doesn't mean that you're going to be burnt up, but some of the things that are not like God are going to be burnt up. And that's why it's good to make sure that you're building upon your building gold, silver, and precious stones. You want to get rid of the wood, because if you have wood, hay, or stubble, amen, the Bible said it's going to be burnt up. Amen. All that stuff's going to burn up. And one good thing about it is if you do have the Holy Ghost, the stuff that you built upon, it's going to be burnt up. At least you'll be saved, wherein as by fire. Amen. So God is going to burn up everything that's not like him. Amen. It's just like I said about the woman that's getting herself ready. Amen. Checking her garments. Make sure she doesn't have any spots or blemishes. Be nothing worse than to come out for the wedding day, just before wedding time, and you look on your garment and you got a big old spot on it, and it's right in the front, right in the middle where everybody can see it. It's not even a good place where you can hide it. And that's one of the things that I want to make sure I get rid of, all my spots, my blemishes. That's why the Bible said, he said he's came for a bride who has made herself ready. It's time for us to start getting ready. It's time for us to clean up our garments, to start ironing out these wrinkles, getting rid of these such things and things that are not like God. Amen. Anything that's in our garments. It also says here in the book in the New Testament over here, it says also in the book of St. John, chapter number 15, verse 6, it says, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Anything that's not going to be like God is going to be burnt up. That's why we got to make sure that we get our garments ready and spot and blemished, everything that's not like him. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. Another point that I want to bring out, and that is in the book of Revelations. Amen. If you notice, amen, as we get closer to the rapture, if you look in the very first three chapters of the book of Revelations, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom God gave unto him to show unto his servant. So this is something that Jesus himself showed unto John. It says here, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom God gave unto him, show unto his servants the things which would shortly come to pass, and he signified them by his angel unto John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And to cap this up real quick before we go off the air, you can see here that God was talking to his seven churches, and he was telling them the things that they needed to correct themselves upon. And we will be dealing with this next week. And the thing that was so important for you to notice here is all the things that the church wasn't doing, God was telling you need to correct yourself and you need to get yourself right. And as you get to the fourth chapter, after God got through telling them how to correct themselves, in the fourth chapter it says, after this, John says, and after this, he saw himself in heaven. And we believe that this is where the rapture has taken place. Because it says here in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 29, he said, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And chapter number 14, as we close, it says here that, amen, after this, I saw myself caught up. He was caught up in the rapture. Chapter number 4, it says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show you things which must be hereafter. Amen. So we have here, we'll be dealing with this on next week, amen, the trying of the church just before the rapture. And after this, a door was opened in heaven. I believe this is John being caught up into the rapture. Amen. So we know that the churches in the book of Revelations, in the very first chapters, 1 through 3, it shows us that, amen, God was dealing with the church of Pergamos. He was dealing with the church of on the Isle of Patmos. He was dealing with the 7 churches. And the 7 churches were the churches of Asia unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. It says here, amen, it looks like we have a little bit more time here. It says, I'm going to read this, Revelation chapter number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This is Revelation chapter number 1, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So you get a blessing just for reading the book of Revelations. You know that? You get blessed just in reading it. Verse number 4 of Revelation chapter 1, it says, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So when you get baptized in the name of Jesus, you are being washed from your sins. Every the damaged nature that you had that was in Adam, that sin that he committed in the garden, that our sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. So when you go down, you come up to walk in the newness of life. So when you're born again, you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you come up to walk in the newness of life. Amen. It says here in verse number 6, it says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God is going to make us kings and priests. And that's what we are. We are kings and priests on the earth. And we will come back and we're going to judge the world. We're going to judge the world along with our Father. It says here in verse number 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse number 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, which is the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. I, John, who also am your brother and a companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I looked, and I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Amen. So we're going to be dealing with this. This book of Revelation is a powerful book. Amen. And as we get down further in there, you'll find out Jesus was telling them, John was telling them to the Spirit, amen, what God had given him to tell them about the different things that were going on in the churches that they needed to correct. There were things that was happening that they needed to correct those things for. And these are some of the things that we will be dealing with next week. It says here, he's talking to the church of Ephesus. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we overcome. Those of you that overcome, we're going to be able to eat of the tree of life. You know, then we'll be living forever, peace and harmony with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No more sleeping. Can you imagine that? You never need to go to sleep again. You won't have the need to sleep. You won't get tired. You can eat. We're going to have the best food, and then you don't need to eat. But yet you can eat. I mean, this is going to be a wonderful and rejoicing time that we're going to have. Oh, when we all get to heaven, or when we that go to heaven, get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, except the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Amen. We know that Jesus is alive. He died on Calvary's cross, and he's living. We thank God for him living to save us from our sins. We thank God for each one of you for listening on today. We give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And hopefully we'll see you next week. This is Stephen Cross, who was your host. We need to thank each one of you for listening in to our radio talk show. May God bless you richly is my prayer.